This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
But in the sneaker community, you know, there's like fans of sneakers enthusiasts. And in the sneaker community, there are gatekeepers. You know, people who kind of say like, well, you don't really get to be counted as one of us unless you fit these many criteria. Does that make sense? And mostly in the sneaker community, it's about like time spent. You know, like, have you been a sneaker enthusiast for, you know, for a long, do you go way back, you know? And if you don't, then they're like, you're not one of us, you know, like we're not accepting new members, the sneaker community is saying, you know? But and that I know this is just my stupid example, but it happens in almost every area of life, whether it's like literature or music, you know, it's like the new version of saying I liked the band before they were cool, you know? It's saying like, hey, this I'm a true fan, we are the true fans, this is the community, and I have the litmus test, and I am the gatekeeper, and I decide whether you fit among us or don't. Does that make sense? I think it's, you know, we see it a ton in politics right now, you know, like you kind of have to check all of the boxes before someone will let you, like, be admitted into the club, if you will. It's this modern trend of gatekeeping, and it applies to so many areas of life. You don't get to come in, you don't get to be counted among us. So I want to talk a little bit about gatekeeping with Jesus, okay? And you might think it nice for me to stand up here and say, hey, there's no gatekeeping in the kingdom of God. You know, there's no gatekeeping in the Bible, but that isn't quite true. I can't really say that because there are passages where Jesus himself says things like this: enter through the narrow gate, okay? For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. So there are like gates and gatekeepers in the kingdom of God. But I think this passage that we're going to dive into today is about some of those things. But I think that you'll find in this passage really good news. Good news, the gospel. Good news about gates and gatekeepers and the litmus test that the gatekeeper has for entrance, okay? I'm excited to preach this text today. It's the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a scripture that is more familiar to people, like in the broad sense, in the New Testament. Many of us are probably pretty familiar with this passage. For some reason, when I think of the Beatitudes, I think of them etched on a wood plaque hanging in a grandma's kitchen. I didn't have one of those, but like, does that compute with you guys? It just feels like that's my image of the Beatitudes, you know? They're pretty familiar. They've kind of been around hanging on the walls of my life. They're the Beatitudes. We don't know really what all they say, but we know there's some stuff in there about the poor in spirit and so on and so on. And I've never preached a message on the Beatitudes until today. So it's not all that familiar of a topic, I feel like, that comes up a ton in the church. So it's always interesting when we come across a passage that is like vaguely really familiar to us, but one that we don't actually press into very often. And I think there's another dichotomy there in that it's vaguely familiar to us, but it doesn't, in my view, I think you'll learn as we go through this, it doesn't really shape the way that we see the world like it ought to. Does that make sense? So it's vaguely familiar, but it doesn't have teeth in our lives like I hope that it will. Okay, so we're going to talk about them. Let's do these. I like to give you guys headings just in case you like organized thoughts. We'll do the heart of the passage. Like, what's the heart of this Beatitudes message? That's point one. Point two is, what are the questions that it raises? And thirdly, where do I fit in? Those are our three topics. So let's start with the first one. What's the heart of this passage? I had to work on this a lot this week, and I decided early in the week that I wasn't going to be able to like go through the Beatitudes. You know, like there's just too much there. By the way, let me quick tangent. Beatitudes. Beatus is blessed in Latin, so that's why we call them the Beatitudes, okay? So in case you were wondering, just a little side note, beatus means, you know, blessed or happy. Blessing is an idea that runs from the beginning to the end of scriptures, and blessing is more than just a temporary or circumstantial, like, good vibes. Blessing is the highest state of well-being in relationship to God. That's what this passage is about. So I want to talk about the Beatitudes more thematically since I can't go through one at a time, okay? We're going to stay at a little bit of a high level, and here is my attempt to boil down the passage, to get at the heart of the Beatitudes. This is what I would say. I think that what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that no one is outside the reach of God's blessings. That's the heart of the passage. No one is outside the reach of God's blessings. People who are meek, people who are poor in spirit and mourning, that the blessings of the kingdom of God are for them. One of my favorite authors of all time, Dallas Willard, says that this list that Jesus gives us is, in his opinion, not comprehensive, okay? He's saying that we could actually write our own Beatitudes if we wanted to and kind of add them to the list. Who are the people who seem, according to the world, to be outside the reach of God's blessing? Those are the people that Jesus is trying to identify. Who are those people that the world has kind of said the blessings of God are not for you? Like the poor and the marginalized and those with stigmas and outcasts. We could say, if we came up with a list of those people, that those people too are within the reach of God's blessings. This particular passage is a message of inclusion. So whatever Jesus means by the gate is narrow, he doesn't mean this. He's not referring to this. Or you could say that his gate may be narrow, but it is accessible to all people, regardless of good or very bad condition. Jesus is teaching that God's blessings reach much wider than we might think. Let me explain that with a little bit of context of this passage. You know, the time and place into which Jesus preached this message, this Sermon on the Mount, was fraught with gatekeeping, okay? In the first century, there was a very clear and articulated and socially understood metric for who was in, who was able to receive God's blessing, and who wasn't. Jesus spoke into a world where the rich and the powerful, the healthy and the wealthy, those were the ones that were the recipients of God's blessing, and they were the only ones. In fact, their health and wealth were signs of God's blessing. They were because of God's blessing. And if you weren't healthy and wealthy, then it was also because of God's blessings, but God's blessings that had been withheld from you. So you were sick or poor because God had cursed you. Probably because of something that you had done, they would say. Those who were blessed in those days were those who were clearly successful and powerful. And it was into that world that Jesus preached these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are spiritually bankrupt, those who are mourning, those who are facing persecution. The blessings of God, Jesus is saying, are for you. They are for those people. He was turning their worldview upside down. Now, those old timers, you know, back in the first century with that archaic worldview, you know, much to be pitied, aren't they? You know, the way that they put, like, famous and successful and powerful people up on a pedestal, you know? How backward of them, you know? Back then, the way that they championed and tried to emulate the powerful and the successful, you know? They were so backward in their thinking, right? That is us. That's us. We still put those people on a pedestal, don't we? Okay, I'm metal a little bit. You know, like, I already talked about Kobe Bryant earlier, you know, like, and I mean, it's the biggest news story, like, of the year so far or whatever. This horrible thing that happened, and it is truly horrible. It is heartbreaking. But doesn't it say something that that is, like, the biggest news story of 2020 so far, you know? I'm not trying to, you know, shame you or whatever if you have feelings about Kobe. I have feelings about Kobe, you know? But I'm just saying it says something about the world that we live in, right, that this person occupies such a big part of our social dialogue in the West right now, while other people are just, like, dying all over the world, you know? Like, it just says something about the way that we see the world, and especially the, you know, successful and rich and powerful, I think, you know? So my point, I think, is that we have a problem. We are more like the people of Jesus' day than we would like to admit. We esteem the healthy and the wealthy and the powerful, and we don't have a lot of space or a lot of time for the poor and the persecuted and those who mourn. That is the heart of this passage. No one, Jesus is saying, is outside the reach of God's blessing. The gate is open for you, no matter your condition. God's blessing is available for everyone, even for, or maybe even especially for, the poor in spirit, those who are mourning, those who are persecuted. That's the heart of the Beatitudes. Let's talk a little bit about some of the particulars, some of the questions that the Beatitudes raise. These are at least the questions that they raise in my mind. Hopefully they connect with you. When I read the Beatitudes, this is the first question I find myself asking. How do I get those blessings? Like, I love the idea of being a recipient of God's blessing. I want to be counted among the blessed that Jesus lists in this passage. How can I become more like poor in spirit? Or how can I get meeker or more hungry for righteousness, you know? I want to align myself with the conditions that Jesus is championing here. That's where my mind goes when I read the Beatitudes. Wow, what admirable qualities, I think. I want more of those. But that is not primarily what this passage is about. The Beatitudes are not primarily about merit badges that you can strive after and collect, and when you get them all, you get the blessings of God. Now, can you or should you work towards spiritual meekness? Sure. That's a good thing, I think. Can you cultivate a character of mercy? Blessed are the merciful. Can you do that by the power of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But that is not what this passage is primarily about. The crowds that followed Jesus were peasants. Their low estate would be like mind-boggling to us now. They were the opposite of healthy and wealthy and powerful and successful. The people that Jesus was preaching to did not need to hear a message about getting meeker, you know? They were meek. They were as meek as you can be. You know, they didn't have a choice but to be meek. Jesus wasn't saying to them, hey, you should try to be more poor in spirit to get God's blessing. He was saying to people who were already so poor in spirit, the blessings of God are for you. There are those of you who are like me, I'm sure, who want to read like a prescription from the Bible, you know, read these things and say, what can I do here? How can I try harder to do this? But people like you and I think, are missing the point, okay? Let me just show you another quick example. Take blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Take that one as an example. If you read that as a prescription to get God's blessing, then what you would do is you would go out into the world this week and try to get persecuted, you know? And if it didn't work, you'd probably try harder to get persecuted. Like maybe you weren't offensive enough to the culture. And so you work harder to get offensive until you ultimately are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, whether or not we should be bolder in righteousness is another story. But Jesus is not saying in that beatitude, go out and try to get persecuted, you know? He's saying, those of you that are already being persecuted, the blessings of God are for you. I know it doesn't feel like it, Jesus is saying. But the blessings of God are for you. The Beatitudes are a proclamation of God's grace to people who thought they were on the outside of it. They thought that they lived outside the reach of God's love and care. So those of you that are like me, resist the temptation to read the Beatitudes and work harder to be like them. I'm going to give you other applications in a second, okay? I'll give you other things to do, but don't try to do that, all right? Okay, the second question that the Beatitudes raise in my mind. Okay, so it's great news that people who are considered, who aren't considered blessed are declared blessed by Jesus. Here's the question. When are these folks to be blessed? When do the blessings of God come to these people who are like in such a low estate? Is what Jesus means by all of this stuff, hey, you guys who are in a really bad way here on earth, just hold on. And someday when you die, the blessings of God will be given to you. Is Jesus saying, hey, your life is terrible now, I know. But God will make it up to you later, like in eternity. No. That's not what Jesus is saying, or at least it's not all that he's saying. It can be tempting to read the Beatitudes that way, and when we think about people who are suffering, to think about it that way, that they will be satisfied one day way out in the future. But I think if we read the Beatitudes primarily about blessings that come later, then we're missing the point. I think we miss something. I think the blessings of God are not just for the sweet by and by. They are for the here and the now. So we cling to the truth that the meek and the spiritually bankrupt and the merciful, that God is with them and giving them his blessings even now in some way. Those folks may not have it in its fullness on this side of heaven, but they can taste it now and they can feast on it in eternity. Jesus, I think, makes that point. You know, if you read this passage, you see the way he goes back and forth between present tense and future tense verbs. You know, he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and they will inherit the earth. The blessings of God are begun now and will be fulfilled in eternity. Okay, let's wrap this up. The last point, what does it matter for me? Or what's the message for me? What's Jesus saying to me today in these passages, this Beatitudes passage? Well, that depends, I would say. Do you see yourself in the Beatitudes? Do you see yourself there? Are you poor in spirit? Like, are you reminded these days of how utterly bankrupt you are spiritually? That you are a sinner deserving nothing from God but his judgment. Are you poor in spirit? If so, the blessings of God are for you. Are you mourning? If you're mourning a loss today, the blessings of God are for you. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Which means righteousness means like justice, you know? Like, is your heart, because of your life's situation, longing for God to make something right? If so, the blessings of God are for you today. Are you pure in heart? Like, are you kind of laid bare before God, kind of splayed out, saying, you know, I'm done hiding things, Lord. I'm done deceiving myself and deceiving others. I'm done trying to deceive you, Lord. If so, if you're pure in heart in that way, the blessings of God are for you. That is good news for you today. If you see yourself in the Beatitudes, then hear the voice of Jesus saying to you today, the blessings of God are for you. Comfort and mercy are for you, the passage says. You will be called children of God. Now, I know that all of us feel that way to some degree, but some of you, like, that message is for you today. You know who you are. You know, some of you, that is your message, you know? However, there are some of us that aren't feeling it as hard, you know? Like, we think to ourselves, yeah, I felt that way maybe in the past, but I don't really feel the weight of that today. I don't fit into one of those categories. I'm not relating hard to the Beatitudes. And if so, I say, that's okay. That's all right. Again, it doesn't mean that you are outside the reach of God's blessing. Remember, that isn't the point. The point is that regardless of your condition, God's blessings are for you. You might just not need to be reminded of it as much as the people who are low and suffering. Okay, so is there any takeaway for you if you don't see yourself as clearly in the Beatitudes? I think so. Here's what I think you should do. Don't try harder to be poor in spirit. Try harder to be close to people who already are poor in spirit. Don't try harder to, like, mourn. Draw near to those who already are mourning. Don't try harder to be meek. Spend time with those who can't help but be meek because of their lives. I don't know how you want to do that. Maybe it's people that you know. Maybe it's places that you know where you'll rub shoulders with people like that more, serving in ways that you know you'll cross paths with those folks more. It can be little simple things. You know, Jenny and I tried to make regular trips to shop at Walmart. Yeah, that's right. I know. You're shocked. You're clutching your pearls. I know. Why? You know, like, we could shop at Target, you know, but, like, hey, I'm just saying, the poor in spirit are going to Walmart, you know? Like, it can be rough there, man. We've had some encounters at Walmart, you know? Like, the people there aren't just some of them, you know, or like the dollar store. You all been to the dollar store lately? Man, the people who go there aren't just, like, you know, on the lower end economically. Many of them are poor in spirit, you know, and meek and low. And for me, staying away from those places just further isolates me from those people, you know? I spend just less and less time with people who the Beatitudes apply to the most, you know? So look for the people in your life who Jesus would come to and say the blessings of God are for you. Look for those people and press into it, you know, like, spend more time with folks like that. The second thing you can do is to look to Jesus himself. See, Jesus didn't give us just a teaching about the Beatitudes. He didn't just give us a really good sermon about who is blessed in the kingdom of God. He gave us a life to show us the values of the kingdom of God. So let's not just look to Jesus' teaching as good advice. Let's look to Jesus himself. He is the gate that we all come to God through. He walked the road of the blessed of God. Who was merciful? You know, blessed are the merciful. Who was merciful if not him, as he embraced the sick and the poor? Who was persecuted? Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Who was persecuted if not Jesus, as he was beaten for his good news of grace? Who was meek and poor in spirit if not Jesus,
as he faced crucifixion. Who was pure in heart with nothing to hide if not our Lord? Let's look to the Blessed One. There's no limit to the reach of God's blessedness. It has come to all of us, all people, because Jesus has come to us.